Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton. We do it every day at this time with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. And if you guys have questions for John, now's your chance. Text those questions into 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, and we'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Tired, but pleased.
All right.
Reason for, we're tired, we had the Hall of Fame meeting today.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Zoom.
Who'd you vote for?
I can't say.
John, who'd you vote for?
I can't say.
John.
I can't say.
John.
John,
who didn't you vote for?
What's that?
Who didn't you vote for?
Well, I'll give you one. I did vote for Peyton Manning.
Oh, that'll be the one vote that puts him over the edge. I think he was a tweener.
Yeah, he was going to be struggling to get votes. No, but we started at 6:30 today and literally got done a little over a half hour ago. And so it was a long day. But, of course, I've been doing this now since 1988. Obviously, this is one of the few times we've had to do Zoom. I know we did Zoom for the contributor meeting back in August. It's always satisfying because we don't know the results. The results are going to come out the evening before the Super Bowl. And so we won't know until then. We won't even know who the final five are. But it was real satisfying to, you know, hopefully, as they say at the Hall of Fame, change the life of at least eight people, because you have five modern day players. You have a coach, which of course is yes or no on Tom Flores, yes or no on Bill Nunn as a contributor, and yes or no on Drew Pearson, the wide receiver, as a senior.
So is that the minimum five?
Yeah,
getting it, because that's
the minimum's technically four.
Four and seven, right? Wasn't it four and the max of it used to be a max of seven?
Well, that would be seven, but that would be the senior and the contributor. And so it's actually a max of eight.
Okay.
Because now you have we have a 4-year stretch right now where we have coaches, and of course it was yes or no today on Tom Flores. We don't know the results and won't know it until the eve of the Super Bowl. And of course it was we hope that Flores makes it, because if Flores makes it, guess who can be one of the next candidates? Mike Holmgren.
So is it the same process in that you've got somebody standing up, or I guess they don't stand up on the video, but just advocating for a specific player? There's somebody speaking on that player's behalf?
The way it goes is that you have a presenter from the city that the player is in. And so that presenter will give five minutes to make the presentation. Then you start to open it up for conversation. And, you know, there'll be a little bit of a limit. But again, Dave Baker, who runs the Hall of Fame, was pretty loose with the time today, because, again, it's all on Zoom. And, you know, we only had 5-minute breaks as opposed to 15-minute breaks when we did have some breaks. And so, you know, you do it that way. And then once you get down and get through the 15 players and the three other, the contributor, the senior, and also the other one, which is the coach, then, you have a vote and you take it from 15 to 10, and then you take it from 10 to 5.
You know, David Baker is the enormous man that you see all the time whenever the Hall of Fame.
He's a mere 400-pounder now. Come on.
Is he? Is he 400?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
I believe I shook his hand one time down in LA.
And it disappeared.
Yes,
it's like
did.
A catcher's mitt.
Yeah. And also, he has the hugest noggin.
He makes Walter Jones look like he's got my head.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know,
by the way, you know, his son was a former first-round pick of Atlanta.
Really? Who was it?
The left tackle.
What was his first name? Baker.
My head's swimming right now with 18. Yeah. I can't remember.
You've got too many names. But anyway, we'll look at him up. The other thing about him, John, I just want you to talk about him a little bit. But always a huge smile on his face. Like he was one of the friendliest gentlemen ever. That and you see every time. But you know, the other thing is he's got a really good job, right?
Yeah. When
you get to go and inform these guys, and I saw the thing with Jimmy Johnson, and then, you know, Troy Aikman's crying on TV. They're both doing. I mean, that was really a special moment. He's got a, He's got a really good job. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, and he's great. And I think that he's added so much to the Hall of Fame. I mean, just from the standpoint, now, again, this obviously is a tough year because, you know, there was no game this year, and that's their big revenue base. They were closed for 63 days because of the pandemic. And so it was a tough financial year. But, I mean, he's done so much in building up the stadium, you know, getting eventually a five-star hotel in the complex, you know, building up the Hall of Fame campus and just making it so much better. And he's made it so much better for us as voters. I mean, we've now expanded to 48 voters, and that now includes Lisa Salter. We got Bill Polian. We've got Dan Fouts, James Lofton, Tony Dungy. They're now in the mix voting among the 48. And then, you know, he is really been good with some of my requests, because again, all my requests were really originally coming from me. They came from Will McDonough. You know, Will McDonough was my mentor in this business. And so I sat next to Will at these meetings. And so Will's biggest thing was, okay, we have the players, and then we have contributors and coaches. And he advocated for the longest time to have those two separate categories broken free so you can get coaches in and you can contributors in. Because what ends up happening is that they're not, if they go up against a player, I mean, if it's going to be Bill Nunn, the longtime scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was so instrumental in one of the greatest drafting periods in NFL history, versus Dave Wyman. I mean, then Wyman probably gets in before Bill Nunn, because we always take the player before we do the coach. And so after Will passed, I continued the campaign, and then we were able to then get the contributor, but the contributor didn't have the separate from the coach. Well, this year, they've actually followed what I've been preaching for many years, to have the coach category. So again, I hope it's a yes on Tom Flores. I know I voted yes. And, that next year, it could be Don Coryell. It could be Mike Holmgren. But we got a four-year stretch where if we get four coaches in, maybe they'll extend it and we get more coaches in.
See that? We got two votes out of Clayton there, Flores and Peyton Manning.
There we go.
There's two of them, John.
Yeah, there
you go. Two.
I saw the commercial. Is it a Coors Light commercial now with Tom Flores?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, he's sitting out in the backyard with, I don't know if it's his son. Speaking of sons, it's Sam Baker.
Sam Baker, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick.
Out of USC, first-round pick in 2008, 21st overall. That's David Baker's son. He played for, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Flores, just what a nice guy. And he was a GM as well, you know, and he signed me to at least one of my contracts, I believe, maybe two. And then just a super gentleman guy, you know, I mean – I played for Wade Phillips, Chuck Knox, Mike Shanahan, and Tom Flores. Those are four pretty good coaches there.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you'll appreciate this because every year, including this year, I'm the one that has to get up and say, separate the Seattle experience from his Hall of Fame. Because, nobody was going to be able to succeed under Ken Behring. I mean, that was a complete disaster, both as a coach and a general manager. And so, like, for example, he got shot down a little bit in a couple of years. Now, again, he was going against players, so it wasn't going to help, because I think his record was like 103-90-90. But when you take away the Seahawks 3 years, it was 83-53 with two trips to the Super Bowl with the Raiders. And we're talking about a Raider team that, you know, they're practicing in one city and move to another city. You got all these characters. Al Davis is trading away some of your best players. I mean, we talked about one game where, you know, I think it was like 80 or 81, where he had to go down to Houston, and they had just traded Ken Stabler and two other players, starters, to Houston, and he was able to beat them. In fact, one thing that's great about Tom Flores, his record against Hall of Fame and winning coaches was one of the greatest ever.
By the way, when somebody's making a presentation on behalf of somebody like Peyton Manning, what do you even say? I mean, don't you just stand up and go, come on, guys, it's Peyton Manning. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, Mike Chappell, who has the Indianapolis vote, did the wise thing today. Because, again, you know, we have the 5 minutes, and sometimes they stretch the 5 minutes into 8, maybe 9 minutes. He basically took a 30-second saying, Peyton Manning should be in the Hall of Fame. Thank you.
I mean, they're just those. When Tom Brady is eligible, you feel like you should just stand up and go, 6 Super Bowls, or whatever he's going to have at the time, 7 Super Bowls, who knows? But, I mean, it should be literally one sentence, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, we've done that a couple times, but it's, you know, kind of rare for that to happen. I think, you know, we did it with Eric Dickerson. It's like, Eric Dickerson, okay, next.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Montana, Barry Sanders, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Those are just ones that shouldn't even have to vote. They should. Yeah. There should be automatic entries in some of these Hall of Fames.
Yeah, but again, it's like by law, at least according to the Hall of Fame law, I mean, you have to have a vote on it, and then eventually get it down to yes or no. And obviously, in every case, it's going to be yes. Some cases, because the last time we've had a modern day vote where it was a no goes back to 2007. Where it was, you know, we got down to the five, and Paul Tagliabue was among the five, and he got a no vote. But we haven't had a no in the modern day vote for all those years, 2007 to now.
Wow. By the way, Baker came to our set once when I was at Sporting News. We were at the Super Bowl. I think he came over with John Elway. They were, mm-hmm. they were doing something together, so we did a dual interview. But they came over during the commercial break, and we had those director's chairs, you know, that have just kind of the cloth,
right.
and, you know,
yeah.
you know those. And everybody came over, sat down. Our producer puts one out for Baker to sit down, and everybody looks at it. And I think Baker went, "That's funny," and stood during the interview because
sure
we didn't have another chair, and he wasn't going to tempt fate with the director's chair.
No. But, I mean, he's really a great guy.
Oh, he was super nice,
yeah,
super
and,
friendly.
And, of course, now the thing that he's going to be challenged on, and that's why we had the vote today, is that he has to get word to the 15 people who's in and who's out. And, he likes to do it, he's not sure if it's going to be done virtually. I mean, like last year, he flew to New York to give Bill Cowher his tell him he made the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Then he had to fly all the way out to L.A. to surprise Jimmy Johnson. But, he loves the fact that, his line is, as a voter, you're changing the lives of eight people with what you're voting on. And because clearly it just changes their life to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I can't stop talking about David Baker. I'm sure people are tired of it. You said he flew out there. I'm like, where's he sit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two first-class seats?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he played in the NFL.
No, but I'm pretty sure he played in college.
But, yeah, he did. He did. Anyway, yeah. 360 says, I like how Wyman would probably get in over a guy who passed away. I would say that there'd be probably about 2,000 players would have to pass away before I got in there. But, anyway, I'm happy being in the Wooster High School Hall of Fame.
There you go. It's meaningful.
That's the high water mark of your life, and you just have such reverence for that.
All right,
awesome.
Well, yeah. So, John, let's get back to that's really cool. All the Hall of Fame stuff. I love it. I love it every year. We get to talk to you about that kind of stuff. But it's going to be fun to see when that comes out. And I remember how special it was when Warren Moon got his nomination, which was right when we were back in Detroit for the Super Bowl. Before we got ripped off.
Yeah, and of course, it was so special that Ken Easley, even though it was a senior, when he was able to get in. Because I know how meaningful that was for him.
Yep. Hey, John, there's talk about, offensive coordinators. And the 253 asks, who would be your number one choice? What do you think about this with Dave Canales, hiring from within? Because he turned down the job, I guess, at Vanderbilt. But would you think, I mean, is your first thought like they need something, some fresh voice from outside? Or would you think, if they did get him, I mean, if they're going to interview everybody, it sure would be weird if they would just, stay in-house.
Well, see, my idea would be the best choice because, again, you want somebody that can groom a young coach. And, what I look at is that's why Doug Peterson, to me, would be the best choice because, number one, he's from Ferndale. Number two, he's a great play caller. Number three, he's a great communicator, and he's a great teacher. And so that gives them the best coach that can work with Russell Wilson. I mean, over Pep Hamilton, over Adam Gaze, over that. I mean, he believes in a lot of the fundamental things that, even though, again, he's going to be more of a passing coach, but, he believes in RPOs. He certainly believes in running the football. He believes in two tight end offenses because that's what he had back in Philadelphia. And I think that, he could come in and then, because figuring if, it hits with Russell Wilson, then he's going to be gone after a year. And so then Dave can take over the next year. So I wonder how much of that. But again, the question is going to be, does he want to coach this year? Because, he's not getting a head coaching job. There's only one opening right now, and that's Houston. And he's smart enough not to want to go down to Houston because that's a bad job. And he's not going to go back to Philadelphia, the team that fired him. So it's like if he wants to coach, and again, I'm sure he can get coordinator offers and stuff like that. But this, to me, checks all the boxes because he's from this area. He's a great coach. He'd work perfectly with Pete and everything else. And I think that, you know, he can groom Kanellis.
Who's going to get that Houston job if it's not – I'm trying to think if Bieniemy gets it. Is that enough to make Deshaun Watson happy, or is Deshaun Watson done there and it's just a matter of figuring out where he goes?
Mentally, he's done there. I think he wants out so bad.
Doesn't matter who the coach is.
Well, maybe if Eric comes in, he can smooth it down. The thought is, let's say they hire Leslie Frazier, you know, who's with Buffalo right now as defensive coordinator. That may be one that over time, you know, Leslie can, you know, work it out with Deshaun. You know, maybe if Jim Caldwell gets the job, he can work it out with Deshaun. But right now, you know, Deshaun wants to be on the outside looking out because he doesn't want to be there. I mean, he's just like he realizes this is now the worst organization in football. They've screwed everything up. And you know, it's like SI has just been doing such a great job of now having two stories talking about what a disaster it is with Jack Ellerbe and what a disaster it is with the ownership right now in Houston.
So who do you think gets that coaching job then?
I'd say right now Jim Caldwell and maybe Leslie Frazier. Now, again, Leslie would have to wait till after the Super Bowl if they beat Kansas City to take the job. But if, let's say, they lose on Sunday, then he's going to be available Monday. And then, you know, they've already conducted the interview with him. But I think that, you know, Leslie's a defensive coach. They'll have to figure out some things on offense. But, you know, he's such a good communicator and good person that he may be able to calm down Deshaun Watson.
And then if Deshaun is not calmed down, where does he land?
The two teams I think right now have the most capital to be able to do something would be the New York Jets, because they have the two first-round picks from Seattle for Jamal Adams. And then, ironically, it would be the Miami Dolphins because, you know, they got all the picks on the Laremy Tunsil trade, you know, particularly the third pick in the draft. And so that could be one where Houston, you know, basically trying to get the picks back that they gave up and offering more. But the problem's still going to be the price. You know, because again, to do this, you know, they'd have to have the equivalent of like three number one picks and two other picks. And so you can include Tua as one and then maybe two first round picks, where like in the case of the Jets, I mean, you can trade, you know, maybe Sam Darnold and two first round picks.
Hey, John, what do you think of this whole Mahomes, Mac Wilson thing? I don't know if you saw that. I guess Patrick Mahomes' mom tweeted out something. I guess you can kind of understand a mom, but yeah. I mean, if it's me, I'm like,
she should look at the replay.
Yeah, well, and she didn't look at the replay, but I mean, this hit to the head, and then I guess Colin Cowherd is saying that they should move the AFC Championship game. I mean,
come
just,
on,
yeah, that's what
such
I said.
A dope.
Yeah. So, but
why,
anyway,
unless he was trying to be funny.
Why is it his? I mean, his opinions are now becoming worse than Chris Sims.
Maybe was he trying to be funny?
Who knows?
He couldn't have been serious with that.
No, but he comes up with some of the weird ones. And again,
he does. Yeah,
I mean, and particularly involving like Seattle. I mean, I know he's big on what was he at one point pushing for Russell Wilson to be traded and go
right.
Someplace else. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, move the game. It's like, why would you move the game?
Yeah.
There's no reason. It's like, you know, they've gone through, 256 regular season games. They've gone through 10 playoff games, and you know, it may be bumpy at different things, but they've made it through.
Right, and that's just what happens in football.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fix everything. And you know, for the people that are looking at that on slow motion, I mean, there's nothing dirty about that hit.
No.
And I would argue that even if he hit him in the helmet.
Which
he didn't. He's a running back. He's a running back in that situation. So, I mean, to me, I mean, you don't want your quarterback to get hit in the head. Don't run him. You know, to me, that part, you just can't change that, I don't think. And, you know, I would hate to see, players getting penalized for that. I feel like, you can protect the quarterback to a certain extent, John, but you can't go that far.
No, agreed. That's just too much.
Yeah.
John, 425 asking, is Earl Thomas going to join Dan Quinn in Texas?
I'd say right now, no. That, you know, it's interesting because I think teams are scared of Earl Thomas. And, you know, you would hope that he finds a job. He's too talented not to find a job. And, you know, that certainly would be one because they do need some safety help without question. And Earl would be great safety help. And he'd love to be able to be a Cowboy, although, you know, he'll miss not having Jason Garrett to chase down to try to recruit him. But because Jason's up with the New York Giants right now as an offensive coordinator. But, yeah, I mean, it could be a consideration. But, you know, now the question is going to be, is that something that Jerry Jones would endorse, because Dan's going to have virtually no voice in personnel. And, of course, he is a coordinator. He's not a head coach.
Yeah, so, John, I'll go back and ask again, 253, because I asked about Dave Canales. 253 wanted to know who your number one pick would be right now if you could
Doug
pick
Peterson.
Offensive coordinator.
Doug Peterson.
Really?
I was like, why wouldn't you want to have a guy who's a great person, a former quarterback, comes from the Andy Reid tree, who knows how to work running games, knows how to go to the two tight end offense, and then really can work well with quarterbacks. I mean, I can't see anything better than that. You understand it's a one-year situation because he'll do well and he'll leave to become a head coach next year. But why not give Doug Peterson the chance? Now, again, it's up to him. But again, everybody around the league believes, even though, again, they don't know the thinking of Doug Peterson, that Doug is the leading candidate for the job. And why? He's the best candidate for the job. Mm.
John, we were going through a list of free agent running backs in the last segment, and Maura made a list for us here. And one of the names on there was surprised, Aaron Jones out of Green Bay. I can't imagine they'd let him go, right?
I think they might.
Really?
Well, because remember, didn't they draft A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, that Jones. Big dude from Boston College. Yeah.
Jones is such a big part of what
Dillon's
they do,
got injured at the end of the season. But, if you look closely at that list, you'll be stunned. Because basically, most of the top running backs are all from the 2017 draft. Because I remember, I think there was like 10 of them. And, of course, Alvin Kamara was able to get a deal. And I think Joe Mixon was able to get a deal. So there's like 7 or 8, because I think Ronald Jones is in the mix. But if you look at that list, they're all pretty much from 2017, drafted, or even, I don't know if there's any, I think there's one undrafted, but he signed. It was Austin Eckler. But, again, that 2017 draft was just golden because, Chris Carson came in that draft. But look at those, you look at those backs, and most of them are going to be guys from 2017.
Mm. Yeah, they got Jamal Williams, who ran for 500 yards. So,
Jones ran for 1,114 games, 9 touchdowns, had 47 receptions. He's had back-to-back years of 1,000.
But do you pay your running backs? Yeah. That's the thing. And I don't know if that just kind of breaks down on the individual or what the team philosophy is. But, Alvin Kamara, there are certain ones I would spend money on and certain ones I wouldn't. Like Alvin Kamara, just very impressive.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder, was Joe Mixon won at $12.5 million? They made a mistake on because he barely had a season. Another one that's going to be in the mix, but he's coming off a major injury, is Marlon Mack of Indianapolis because he had the Achilles tear. And so, they traded up to get Jonathan Taylor, who had a 1,000-yard season. But again, I still look back at the running back position this year, and we know that Christian McCaffrey got $16 million, Kamara got, rightfully so, $15 million. You got 12.5 for Derrick Henry. There were still only 8 running backs, 8, that had 1,000-yard seasons. Mm.
John, we appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, it's time for El Hombre. We'll get his thoughts on the fumbling through the end zone rule, see which side he's on with that, get his thoughts on everything else. That's coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.